My next guest is a local computer services company owner, radio show host, and author of the book, The Boss's Guide to Smarter IT. We're going to debate the top technology stories of the day in a segment that I call Tech Tuesday with Ken May. Kenneth May is the co-owner of SwiftChip Incorporated, a full-service IT company with locations in Beverly Hills and Ventura, California. SwiftChip serves all of Los Angeles, Ventura, and southern Santa Barbara counties. Ken has a bachelor's degree in liberal arts from Thomas Aquinas College, a master's degree from Santa Barbara COM, and he's studied in Japan and China. He hosts a radio show titled Tech Today with Ken May on KVTA News Talk 1520. The show is streamable at his blog, which is kenmay.net, and it's also available on iTunes. Ken is happily married and has two beautiful little girls. His passions include travel, music, and Chinese martial arts. Welcome into the studio, Ken. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Bill. I'm doing great. It's always a pleasure to be able to chat with you.
Well, glad to have you here, and I love bantying back and forth about technology with you because we always tackle such interesting subjects. And I want to throw this one out to you right now.
Go for it.
Microsoft, which was the great behemoth of the 1990s and even the early 2000s.
Sure.
Great company. It still continues to be a good company. But my question to you is this. Is Microsoft relevant? I mean, Microsoft, you know, it's a large cash-generating business,
mm-hmm.
okay, but it's not an innovation powerhouse like it was before. It's losing ground to Google, Facebook, Apple, and Amazon, which really appear to be the big gorillas in this space now.
Sure, sure.
Now, as a gaming platform, Microsoft has Kinect, which is kind of cool. But even the Microsoft engineers admit that the motion sensing of Kinect isn't going to be the way that we're going to be running our computers and our mobile phones for at least 10 years. Meanwhile, Apple's got Siri, which is voice activated, and that seems to be taking off.
A great product, too. Definitely works well.
So my question to you is, you know, is Microsoft still going to be a relevant player in the digital space in the next 10 years?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. And as with everything in the technology field, everything changes all the time. I mean, if you asked me that question 6 months ago, I would have given you a significantly different answer than I would right now. Within the past week alone, Microsoft has released their consumer preview of Windows 8, the next version of their Windows operating system. And believe it or not, this has really taken a lot of the internet blogging and technology community sites by storm, and they love it pretty much across the board, which actually really surprised me. Because it's such a big departure from classic Windows that I was really expecting the vast majority of people to say, this is horrible and insane, and what the heck are they thinking of? But instead, what got brought up is a really, really fascinating thing that I've talked about. I've touched on it tangentially on my radio show, and it's this, that Apple is currently trying to unify everything that they touch, the iPad, iPhone, iPod, MacBook desktops, you know, the OS X and the iOS, right? And, you know, with Lion and with upcoming Mountain Lion, they're slowly starting to kind of try and bring things together, and they're really annoying people along the way. Microsoft has actually completely one-upped Apple in this regard, in that they have basically the identical interface across all of their devices. Yes, it's a bit of a learning curve, and, you know, obviously some businesses are going to want to wait a while before they adopt it, but they've completely taken the plunge and actually stepped, really innovatingly stepped right to the forefront of the situation where nobody is doing that just yet. They're all kind of moving that direction, and Microsoft has gone straight there, and it looks like it's going to work. So as far as innovation, I think that was actually a very risky move by them, and it looks like it's going to work. I mean, obviously time will tell. We'll see how well it does as things start to mature and how close to prime time it gets. To address one of the other things you mentioned about one of Microsoft's software architects talking about Kinect handling our mobile phones and all that, well, this is a classic problem of asking a engineer one question, and then you ask the marketing guys the same question, and you get a completely different answer. So we certainly have the technology available, and you see there's a million YouTube videos out there with colleges, MIT, and various other ones that are have already implemented Kinect technology to be able to control just about anything you could possibly comprehend. And it seems to work quite well, but of course the question is, you know, making it commercially relevant and available. And as far as devices as small as something like a mobile device like a cell phone or maybe, you know, even a tablet computer, I mean, we'll see if it's something that's even, really appropriate for that sort of an interface. I don't know that it necessarily is, especially because of how small it is. There's some other ideas that are coming out right now, too, about alternative interfaces for them as well, and most of them seem fairly gimmicky as well. But I think Kinect is actually another really amazing thing that they have, not even just on the gaming side, but technologically, they've really one-upped Apple with this. I'm actually kind of surprised, if I could take a step back and look at the last 10 years, why Apple didn't come up with something first. I mean, Kinect has completely opened the world for so many different paraplegics and various people to be able to interact with their computer again, and it just blows the doors off of everything. So I have to think that Microsoft is heading in some really exciting directions. I don't care for their mobile devices, but I make most of my money in my business off of working with their the desktop side of things. But I think they've turned some things around, and they're starting to bring back some innovation. So Apple actually right now, they're in a situation where they've been coasting on their successes. They've just been refining existing technologies, right? Last few iterations of everything that they've done, Siri to me was a very big deal, granted. Everything else is just kind of refining existing technology. So they're now in the situation where they have to come up with some innovation of their own to be able to step back out into the spotlight and really shine as someone who's differentiated from just the past that they've already got going on. Especially, there's a lot of uncertainty with Tim Cook now leading things. Steve Jobs, a lot of people saw him in Jesus robes, and and it'll be really interesting to see if he's able to carry things in the same direction. There's already rumblings that he's taking things in a slightly different direction, more along his way, and that's one of those things where only time will tell.
That's right. My guest is Ken May. We're talking tech on Tuesdays with Ken May. So let me shotgun a couple of quick questions at
you.
Go
for it, because I can easily ramble.
You do deal with businesses on a regular basis at SwiftChip, and that's your core business. And business has a bad taste in its mouth after Microsoft Windows 7. So what do you think
Vista.
I'm sorry, Vista.
Okay.
What do you think the adoption rate is going to be for Windows 8 based on that bad taste they may still have in their mouths?
Well, Microsoft has historically kind of had a history too of releasing a great operating system and then a not so good one, although groundbreaking, and then the version after that is good again because they've kind of refined the ideas they're trying to get. And I am certainly going to be recommending most businesses not to upgrade to Windows 8. I think Windows 7 is a very solid platform for the business environment, and I would certainly want to wait for quite some time before all the third-party – really, it's not even so much about the operating system itself. It's about all the third-party software making sure that it plays nicely with it. For home users, I'm going to say, hey, everybody go use Windows 8. It's going to be easier than ever. It's going to handle all your games and music and movies, and you'll love it, and it'll be great, and I won't have to help grandma so much, But as far as with business, it has to be stable. It has to work all the time. It has to work the exact same way every time. And, whenever there's a sea change in the way you're kind of interacting with your computer, like Windows 8 really is going to be, then you're going to have to, take a very patient look at it.
All right. Another question for you. At the end of 2012, will Steve Ballmer still be at the helm of Microsoft?
Ooh, good question. That's much more on the business side of things than I think I'd be able to adequately really be able to comment on. I think a lot of that's going to have to do with how successful Windows 8 really is, because even though you can point to a million different departments and people inside the company, the figurehead oftentimes winds up taking the blame for the direction that things wind up going on based on a large new launch.
All right. My guest is Ken May. We're talking technologies on Tuesday, Tech on Tuesdays with Ken May. Let me change it up a little bit if I can, Ken, and talk about Microsoft's arch rival, which is Apple. Mm. They just surpassed $500 billion in market capitalization recently, making it the most valuable company in the world. Now, here's some interesting stats about that. I just find these staggering. Apple's market capitalization makes it larger than the GDP of several European nations, including Poland, Belgium, and Switzerland. Apple's market capitalization represents 3.8% of the entire Standard & Poor's 500 stock listing, which means if Apple sneezes, the entire stock market catches a cold. And Apple has more cash on hand, $97.6 billion, than California generates in tax revenue for its general fund all of last year. More cash on hand than we took in revenue as a state. It is. It's mind-numbing. Or let's put that another way. Apple's cash on hand could cover California's estimated $9.2 billion budget deficit 10 times over. Mm. Now, it's interesting because Microsoft actually has achieved the highest market capitalization of $604 billion. They did that back in December 1999, the tech bubble and so forth. Only five other companies have done this besides Apple. Apple's the only one right now that didn't do it because of the tech bubble. So my question to you is this. With Steve Jobs, you know, gone, will Apple be able to continue this torrid pace, not only of innovation, but also this financial tear that right. they are on in the markets?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's only so fast that they can possibly keep up this pace for so long. There's only so many people that are going to need new Apple devices and people wanting to jump on the bandwagon. I mean, having almost $100 billion in cash on hand is just it's almost difficult to comprehend. I mean, I can tell you what I'd love to see them do with it. I'd love to see them take that money and invest in building American factories and manufacturing and maybe bring some of those jobs back here. But I think we've already spoken in the past about, you know, that may not be a practical thing for it to happen even ever. We may have moved as a country beyond being a manufacturing nation. It's going to be really interesting to see. There's so much that they could be doing with that cash on hand, investing in really advanced R&D. But it's more cash than anybody else has. I mean, so they could do anything they want with it. So what are they going to do with it? I mean, they're building this ridiculous spaceship, new headquarters in California. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a giant ring shaped weird place. It's really difficult to even comprehend what they could possibly spend all that on. I mean, they could certainly reduce profit. They've got enough cash on hand. They could reduce what they're charging for these devices, make it more available for lower income people. And of course, you know, that would slow their cash flow. But I'm sure from a company standpoint, you know, why change anything? It's working, right? So yeah, I mean, there's many, many, many different ways they could go with that. I mean, they've been doing similar things that Microsoft was doing when they were a little bit younger, and that's buying up various companies with interesting technology that they're planning on integrating. There was talk that they were going to be eschewing Samsung and other manufacturing companies to possibly start up their own fabrication company. With that much cash, they could certainly do it. Now, it's actually interesting. AMD just got out of the foundry market. They just sold their stake, and Intel is actually just kind of opening themselves up as a chip foundry. So there could be another potential, you know, opportunity there as well, especially Apple and Intel have been having some pretty close, rosy relationships recently. So we'll see.
We'll have to see. Time will tell. My guest is Ken May. So, Ken, I'm going to ask you the same question about Apple CEO Tim Cook that I asked you about Ballmer.
Yeah.
Will Tim Cook be the CEO at the end of the year 2013? So give him one extra year because Steve Jobs just died.
That's a good question. I think he absolutely will. I mean, he's done a decent enough job just in his role at Apple before he was even in this position. They've got enough of a roadmap from Steve Jobs for things that he had in the works and laid out and all that. If he just pretty much follows the game plan that's already there for the next 2 or 3 years, then I see no reason why anyone's going to want to get rid of him. He's just going to have to maintain a very good, strong PR footing. I think it's going to be really the biggest part of it. I mean, if for the next 3 years all Apple did was just make refinements to current offerings, people will be happy and they'll still keep buying them.
All right, my guest is Ken May. He is the CEO or co-CEO of SwiftChip here in Ventura, California. Now, Ken, tell us a little bit about your radio show here on KVTA. I mean, what does your show focus on, and what would listeners listening to your show expect to hear?
Sure. Well, every Saturday from 7 to 8 a.m., or of course they can listen on iTunes or stream online or download the MP3s after the fact, Tech Today with Ken May talks here on KVTA about all the latest in technology news and local business and politics and how it all comes together. How, when Apple gets $97 billion in cash, you know, what does that actually mean for your community, if anything, and things like that. So we try to take a look at the big picture, all the latest in high tech that's moving on, and then talk to local business people, politicians and such, and see, you know, how it actually is going to affect us here at home.
All right, Ken. Now, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, your vast store of knowledge about things technology, if they want to learn more about you, learn more about SwiftChip, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Well, if they want to learn more about SwiftChip, they can easily check out the site at swiftchipinc.com, or they can certainly read my book available on Amazon called The Boss's Guide to Smarter IT.
Oh, that is great. Ken, it has been a delight as always. Thank you for being my guest here on the show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks. Take care. Anytime.